There's a wonderful true story. Well, the person who told me this told me it was a true story. And some true stories are truer than others. So we will just know that this is a wonderful story. Probably true, but maybe not. There is a man who woke up with a feeling, this day is going to be different than any other day. I feel it, I know it. You ever have those? You wake up, this is going to be the best day yet. He looked out the window, it was 33 degrees. He went downstairs and the clock had stopped at 3:30. A sign. He got the paper and he looked at the headline. The third day of the third month. He turned to the sports section. The third horse race of the day. There was a horse named Trio. He went to the bank, he took his life savings, and he put it all on Trio to win. And sure enough, the horse came in third. The signs were there. One day when I was fairly new to Unity, about a year or so into it, I went to my Bible and I said, God, I need an answer. And I heard you can get it in Scripture. So I'm going to open the Bible, close my eyes, and point. And you will give me the word I need for the day. I did that. I closed my eyes, I pointed, and the verse said, I will raise your skirts over your head and smite thee. I shared it before. Another man went to his pastor, and the guy was a businessman. He was in trouble. Business was falling apart. He didn't know what to do. And his minister said, the help, what you need is in your Bible. So I want you to go home, open it up, and Spirit will have what you need. God is providing you. Point to where the Lord wants you to look. He did that, and 3 weeks later, he called the pastor from his yacht and said, you were absolutely right. The money's flowing. I'm on a yacht. Life is good again. And he said, that's amazing. And he said, and what did you point to in the Scripture that brought all this? He said, chapter 11. You know, we've all done this to a degree. We've looked for signs. That's a sign. Maybe not in the Bible, but we've picked up People magazine. It's a sign. And sometimes it even maybe worked a little bit. But it surely isn't the way that we want to live our lives all the time. It's just too nerve-wracking to point at something and hope this is going to work. The only way we can bring forth all the good that we're looking for in our lives is to give up trying to have it. To give up, as I said last week, trying to be the general manager of the universe. Thinking I'm in control of everything that's going on. The problem has been that we've been trying too hard physically, mentally, and emotionally. We've been trying to make our lives work rather than allowing Spirit to do the work through us. We have to surrender to the divine flow, the universal flow of all good within us, already here inside us and not outside anywhere else. The word surrender is derived from the Latin word meaning to give yourself up. Let it go. Surrender is not a passive act. Right in the middle, we have ren, to rip yourself away from something that isn't working anymore. It maybe never did work in your life, but you haven't been able to give it up because you don't know what else you'd go to. We have to make an effort to focus ourselves on the good that Spirit desires us to have. To let go of what is not working and is holding us back from receiving all the good that we actually came here to the planet to have. When we give ourselves over to the possibility of abundant good, we are immersing ourselves in that wonderful divine flow of life. But what happens is that we end up unintentionally cutting off the good, cutting off exactly what it is that we would like to have. And we do that by immediately letting it go. We immediately let go of what is not for us, and Spirit rushes in to take care of everything that we have let go of. You've got to surrender what does not work in your life. I hear, well, but I prayed. I did that already. I prayed, but I don't think God wants me to have this. In counseling all the time, I prayed, but. I let it go, but. If I was meant to have it, wouldn't God have brought it already? And then I hear things like, I give thanks for a new wife. But the one I had? That horrible witch who keeps draining me dry with alimony every month. I hate her. I affirm a new wife. Let go of the other one first. I affirm my perfect job with a perfect boss at the perfect salary. Sounds good, right? Unlike that jerk from my last job, all managers are alike. They're out to get you. But I am affirming the right and perfect boss. Ruth Warwick, our first licensed teacher, the late, great, wonderful Ruth Warwick, hated every driver she ever had. They were always out to get her. All the cab drivers were out to take her. And of course, she'd always get the cab drivers that she would argue with. Even the best ones she would argue with because she anticipated they were going to be nasty to her. I pray for my highest good. I affirm and know my good is here now, but I'm too dumb. I'm too old. I'm not talented enough. Who would want to hire me anyway? And we go on and on and on. We cancel out the very positive affirmation that we are affirming on Sunday and sometimes during the week. Oh, right, that's an affirmation I had. Oh, you cut out the bulletin, you put it on your computer. You might say it once in a while, but all the other words are about your horrible wife with the alimony, about your terrible boss, and about how nobody's going to give you a break. You see what we do? We keep ourselves tied to a situation by affirming the very thing that we don't want. We're affirming over and over and over again the lack and limitation. All bosses are out to get me. Together? All men are pigs. Somebody's laughing. It seems like I hit your affirmation, did I? All women are gold diggers. Then we draw to ourselves those individuals who will play the role that we have called forth. So for you, all men are pigs. All women just want your money. Well, that's what you are seeing. That's what you're affirming. That's what you're coloring your life with. We are creating the reality, and we're watching our affirmation play out. We're watching our belief system take hold. If you believe all men are pigs, get the trough ready. And then the crazy thing is we blame God. God, I guess you don't love me. God, I guess you don't want me to have the right and perfect mate. This is insanity, and we keep ourselves in an ongoing cycle of lack and limitation in all the areas in our lives that we're calling empty. We have powerfully committed ourselves to the exact thing that we don't want. Why do we, as students of truth, experience the lack of financial good, for example, when we know that God is our source? If you've been coming here for any length of time at all, you know that we know that Spirit is everything. God is all. Everything comes out of God. There is no lack in the universe. There cannot be any lack in God's universe, yet we don't seem to be experiencing that with our bank account, with our wallets. Has this ever happened to you? You receive a large amount of money out of the blue, say $1,000. You think, great, I can pay this bill. I can treat myself to dinner. I can go on vacation. Next day, your card dies, and how much does it cost to take care of it? $1,000. Now, there are one or two things going on here. Either your belief is that there's never enough money to do what I need to do. That's taking hold because you keep saying it over and over again. Or giving is an issue in your life. That somehow giving is one of the most difficult things to do, and you're just in pain to let go of anything. It's my belief that when we live from the fear that there isn't enough, we begin to hoard. When we hoard, we're surrounding what we do have with fear, and we're diminishing even the good we have. Without a free flow exchange of giving and receiving, trusting the Spirit's at work, and then when I emulate God by giving, I receive so much more back, when we're holding a different thought, we're going to see lack and limitation happening over and over and over again, no matter how much money we may receive. I have cut my good off from abundantly coming forth. So no matter how long I meditate on the idea of prosperity or get excited here on Sunday morning, no matter how many affirmations of prosperity I say, my fear is what I'm living. As Job said, the very thing that I fear has come upon me over and over and over again. I have committed myself 100% to a belief in lack that a few affirmations on Sunday morning are not going to be overcome. The truth is, the life you're living now is the life you have committed yourself to. You have committed yourself to lack, limitation, doubt, failure, if these are in your life. We can change our lives by changing that thought pattern. It's very simple, not always easy, but we can do it. The more we apply it, the more focused we are on it. Shakespeare wrote, "There is nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Our thoughts have created our world. It's our conviction, it's our commitment to one idea that is either bringing forth a great life or a limited life. One of the native cultures in South America teaches that you don't eradicate demons, you don't get rid of them, you make friends with them and put them to work for you. So whatever it is you're afraid of, you say, why have I invited you into my life? You make a dialogue with it. You say, I invited you for some reason. Tell me about you. Have a cup of coffee. Tell me all about you. What's going on here? That's a great way to look at fear, not to run away from it, not to ignore it, but to look at it and say, who are you? What's your point of being in my life? What do you have to teach me here? What am I really afraid of? What's the worst thing that could actually happen to me? When I first moved to the city in the mid-70s, all I had to eat for 3 days while I was between waiter jobs was a box of cookies. I was told over and over again that if I lived in New York, I had to be a starving actor. I took that phrase to heart. Starving actor. You don't hear of starving lawyers or starving janitors. No, it's always starving actor. I committed myself to that role of being a starving actor. I must be a real actor. I'm starving. I have nothing to eat. Yay! It's working. When I confronted that fear, I saw this is a lie. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. I can eat and be an actor. What a concept. So I changed my mind. I didn't have my truth at work, but I knew something inside of me that said, I have to approach it in a different way. I have to take a new conviction about my life and who I am in it. So what demon lie have you always believed? What are you carrying around with you right now that your fears are saying this is the truth of who you are? Whatever it is, that did not come out of divine love. It did not come out of God mind. It came out of something else. It came out of the ego or belief of another person. If you leave here today with only one thought, know that what I'm sharing with you is the truth. Nothing is stronger than God, including that lie you've been telling yourself over and over again for so many years. You have just been powerfully committed to the untruth of your health or your career or your love life. Change your mind. Take a new thought. Take a new conviction. And then watch your life begin to go in that direction. In our basic textbook, Lessons in Truth, Dr. Cady wrote, desire is God tapping on the door of your subconscious. It's God telling you, look what I've got for you. We're saying, no, I can't have that. I got to be a starving actor. That's not going to work. No, God, you have it wrong. Don't get me all built up here. And God says, I got it for you when you're ready. I don't care how long it takes, I've got it waiting for you. This is your divine plan. The Spirit is pushing at us from within, and that's why we all came here. We all came to the planet to remember the truth that unlimited success, unlimited prosperity, and radiant health are possible if I say yes to it, if I agree with it. When you follow through with that wonderful divine nudge we get from God within, then God leads you to the right and perfect life that you're here for. Someone once said to me, God gives you the car, but you have to drive it. God is not going to drive us. We have to get in the car that's provided and get to where we need to be. I love the poetry in Isaiah 40. It says, what will happen when I say yes to life, when I say yes to wholeness, when I say yes to my joy? You will mount up with wings like an eagle. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. In other words, all the energy we need, everything we need is already provided. I just need to get in the car, drive, I need to walk, I need to do what I need to do on my spiritual path, and then Spirit will give me everything I need for the journey. Divine love is our energy source. Divine love has already fulfilled the desires. Our job is to say yes and see the new door open up. It's kind of like calling a drugstore for a prescription. The pharmacist fills the order and has it waiting, but you don't show up. Why? Well, I was afraid of the taxi driver. They may take me in the wrong direction. I might never get there. Or it's too hot out. Yeah, it's in the 90s now. Oh, the air conditioning feels so good. I don't want to go out. Or, you know, the pills might not work. I don't know. I've heard things about them online. Or I really can't afford them. I'm looking at my money. I really can't take those. Or, you know, I think I feel better. I think I'm good. And the pharmacist is waiting, wondering why you're not picking up the pills. God is rather like that. We pray, we affirm what we want, say a great career, but then we don't show up for the career. And God's like, what? Where are you? And we have reasons just as ridiculous. Well, God, I'm really not good enough for that. You know how many people were at the audition the other day? Oh, gosh. I don't think I want to put myself through that anymore. Or I'm not talented enough. I'd have to move to California or Canada. Or I'd have to do stock in Ohio first. Oh, God, I don't want to leave New York. I'd have to buy a suit. Oh. We have so many excuses for not having the good. And Spirit is waiting for us to show up with it. No matter how many lies our ego is trying to push on us, we got to feel the fear, which comes from the ego and not God, and just move forward and do the thing anyway. How committed are you to having a great life? We got to ask ourselves that every single day. If you want a mate, is there room in your dresser? We talked about this last week. Did you make any room? I was busy. I don't really know if I want someone. I do, but I don't. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I do. I guess, sure. I'm not doing anything till next week, so. Is your home so packed to the gills with stuff, so much that you can't even put any more of your own things in there? Is your home inviting and nurturing? Is your space comforting and welcoming to another person? Or is your dog thinking about moving? Like, you really need to clean up what I did over there. If not, get busy. Make room in your closet. Empty out a drawer. Have a little foot-by-foot space in the bathroom for them to put their stuff there. You're telling the universe, I don't want anybody else here if there's too much. Years ago, I heard of a woman who prayed for a man to come into her life. She decided she needed to be clearer with the universe about her intention. Just saying, I want a man is not enough. It's a good beginning, but it's not enough. So she bought a pair of men's trousers in just the right size. What that right size is, I have no idea. She didn't say. And then she hung these trousers on her bedpost so she could wake up and go to bed and see the man's trousers waiting. Every night before going to bed, she created a song that she sang. And she prayed it loudly and joyfully. God in heaven, hear my prayer. Grant it if you can. I've hung a pair of trousers here. Please fill them with a man. That's commitment. I think it was within 3 months. She found a man who fit the trousers perfectly, and they ended up with 12 children. I'm guessing there was a second verse to that song that she did not share. But we got to get specific. What specifically are you looking for? If you want somebody to fill these trousers, hang them up. Take a look at them. Fill them with a man. Thank you, God. Can't wait. 12 children. Well, okay. That's not everybody's prayer, but hey. When you're specific and you know and you're excited about it, the universe will then draw that into your life like a magnet. The Bible says, ask believing, you shall decree a thing and it will be established for you. Put it out there and it comes back. Simple. Ask, believing, and it'll show up. So I invite you this week to do a divine order form. Get a legal pad, whether it's for your health or career or for a mate, and write down exactly what it is you see in your life that you would love to have. For example, with a mate, if you desire a 6'4", muscular, athletic, mechanical individual for a wife, write it down. It's your form. If you don't care about the physical but want somebody with a great sense of humor, write it down. If you want somebody who's financially stable, write it down. You want somebody spiritual, write it down. You want somebody with a bright mind who loves to read books like you do, write it down. Get really clear about what it is you're looking for. This isn't for God. God already knows your heart. It's for you to get really clear about, here's the person I'm looking for. To keep you excited, to get you energized and moving you every day forth. And then you read it and you go, well, you know, maybe the mechanical part's not important, so I'm going to let that go. And you boil it down to what you really want. So when you finish it, you know, take your time, do it this week, and when you're finished, pray with it, and then either bring it here or send it to the office, and we'll pray with you for a month. Then we'll move it on to Silent Unity for another month of prayer. Turn it over to God. You know what it is. You've got it really clear in your mind. Thank you, God. I'm real excited. I can't wait to have this person come forth. Fill those trousers now. And know that you put it into prayer. When you put it into prayer in the universe joyfully, passionately, powerfully, there's no way that this good cannot show up. The truth is, your mate is waiting for you. But they're waiting for you to know that they're there too. They may feel the block from you coming because you don't believe it's possible. So you have two wonderful individuals of light waiting for each other to acknowledge each other. So bless that individual, see them as light, and feel them powerfully moving toward you. They're waiting for you to follow through, to commit to having them in their lives too. Someone in our center did this a number of years ago. She whittled it down from like 20, 24 pages. She got it down to 12, 15. There was quite a bit on there. And when she finally finished, he showed up and he was absolutely every one of the things she wrote down. And they're still together today. You have to get clarity about your career, about your life, about what you want for a home. What is it you're desiring? Spirit's waiting for you to say, here is what my life is. It's not enough to say that you've committed yourself once and then never again have to say that to reinforce that truth again. No, it's a discipline. Over and over and over again, we've got to be really clear, this is what I'm looking for. Thank you, God. And now I'm refining it and refining and refining. So many people in relationships get accustomed to the person being there. We get used to each other, which is really horrible. When I first moved to Santa Fe, that was my first ministry. If you've been to Santa Fe, you know how gorgeous it is. The mountains it's just beautiful. And I talked to someone who had been living there for 20 years. I said, oh my gosh, the mountains are great. He said, yeah, you get used to it. I am never used to New York. I am so grateful to be here. Every day I look and I say, I'm so grateful, even when it's a little strange, I'm still grateful for being here and being in the midst of all this creativity and joy and energy and excitement. But with each other, yeah, I love you. I have to say it again. God. Yes, you do, over and over and over again. Because we need to hear it, we need to know it. It's part of our nature to be affirmed and to affirm each other. Today we have a number of couples who have agreed to come up here to be recommitted to each other. So would you all please come up here on the stage? On the platform here, so we can see your lovely, shining, wonderful faces. Get on the same platform together. There we go. It's often strange when they're on different platforms. You can move down just a little bit. There you go. There you go. Move. Are you all comfortable? Yay! Wonderful. Hey. Oh, good. Hello. Come on. Get in the back row there. Go to the back row. Alfredo, go to the back row. There you go. Anybody else want to come up? Come on. Britt, come up. You want to come up? Go on. It's your time. Yeah. Uh-huh. We have some flowers for everybody. Hey. Come on up. Anybody else? You know who you are. You know you want to do it. All right, if you're that shy, you can get on the platform about there. There you go. Yay! Woo-hoo. I know it's like dancing, you know, once a couple. Get in the back row there. Come on up. We got some flowers for you to celebrate this wonderful reunion. Get on the back platform, that'd be great. There we are. What a pretty group. Oh, here we go. Fill the dance floor up. Woo-hoo! There we go. There you go. Terrific. Hi. You can stand right there. All right. Now, if you're too chicken, that's fine. You can just grab each other's hands and you can affirm from there. Thank you. Thank you, Britt Hall. The lovely Carol Merrill. Thank you very much. Well, we're honored to be here today to reaffirm, to reconsecrate, and to celebrate the ongoing marriage partnership of those gathered here on stage. Authentic marriage is much more than two people who have merely been united by a legal vow. This holy union that you've been a part of is formed by two committed individuals who have become attuned to each other's needs, desires, concerns, joys, thoughts, and feelings. In truth, is the joining together of two hearts as one, two soulmates, two kindred spirits, living one life. Growing as a couple is a deeply satisfying and sometimes really challenging experience. It's a movement of divine love within the hearts of two separate individuals, drawing them into a sacred and special union that can only be fully realized with time, experience, compassion, sacred compromise, and a huge dose of humor. Our couples have chosen this morning to make a redeclaration of their abiding love, of their deep respect for each other, and their happiness in being together. You have all decided to reaffirm your wonder and joyful realization that this person you share your life with is a sacred gift, a precious gift, and that your holy union is truly an unshakable, committed, sacred partnership. God's love weaves together the tapestries of your lives in such a way that you have become a seamless part of each other's lives in ways that only you alone will ever know. The essence of your divine partnership has been the acceptance of each other in his or her entirety as lover, companion, partner, and friend. For years now, or months, you have shared your lives through joys, through challenges, through fears, through triumphs. For years, you've had agreements and you've had arguments. You have times of unimagined joy of this child of God being your life, and times of wondering, what on earth did I get myself into here? But through it all, the love and respect that you have for each other has seen you through the good and the not so good. We are here today to celebrate and rejoice in the love that continues to see you through whatever joys and adventures life has continually in store for you. Before you renew your vows with each other, I'd like you to share a few lines of verse with you. And even though you haven't said these exact words, I know you've expressed the sentiments contained in them. I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. I love you for not only what you have made of yourself, but for what you are making of us. I love you for drawing into the light all the beautiful and radiant things no one else has looked quite far enough to find. You've done it without a touch, without a word, without a sign. You've done it by being yourself. Now, Britt's going to come out, and he's going to share a song with us. And as he is doing this, I'm asking you, the couples up here, to softly with each other to recommit to each other, to affirm each other. Let whatever words are in your heart be spoken during this time.
When I rest in you, I am whole. touch your heart. I feel the beloved, feel the beloved touching me. When I open my heart, I open to the beloved, to the beloved in you. Beloved in you. Beloved in you. Beloved in you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bert. That was beautiful. All right. I'm going to ask the husbands and or if you're a same-sex couple, pick a partner, one or two. Now. Determine between you who's one or two. Okay? Good. So, do you husbands or partner one reaffirm this person as your holy mate to love, honor, and cherish through all circumstances? Say, I do.
I do.
Has everybody I do? Okay. Do you wives or partner too reaffirm this person as your holy mate to love, honor, and cherish through all circumstances?
I do.
That was a little stronger, I thought. I was blessed to have officiated at Chuck Cooper and his wonderful wife, Deborah Brevoort's wedding a few years ago. And I'm going to ask Chuck to come out here to share a little bit about what happened during their vow exchange.
Well, first of all, congratulations. So beautiful. I'm sitting back there and bawling. I'm like, I gotta sing now. It's like, oh, so beautiful. It's incredibly beautiful. That's my lovely wife right there. I asked her to marry me pretty regularly. And tell her that I love her pretty regularly, but I'm gonna tell you I love you right now. In our ceremony, we had decided with Paul that we would have a segment of our ceremony where we would speak from our heart to one another. And I had to go first. And I said many things, chief among them that I am so grateful for what you have taught me, and what you have shared with me. Okay, so I did my speech. And then when it came time for her speech, she says, well, what did you say? You said I couldn't think of what to say or whatever. So she wrote a song, and out comes Leslie Uggams to sing me the song that she wrote. And the song is called The Best Part of the Day. And we have the best part of the day every day. And should we sing it?
Yeah.
All right, my brothers. When the day is done and the sun has fled and we climb into our feathered bed,
In that quiet time when night is new, with nothing left to say or do, and no one else but me and you. It's the best part of the day. It's the best part of the day. When the sky turns dark and the stars burn bright, and I hold you close in bed at night, you beside me lying near, your breath the only sound I hear, my worries fade and disappear. It's the best part of the day. It's the best part of the day. When the time has finally come to rest, I make a pillow of your chest, count all the ways that I am blessed with you lying next to me. When the sun comes up and the night is through, the sky outside turns morning blue, day is fresh, young and sparkling new, my favorite thing of all to do, waking up and seeing you. It's the best part of the day. It's the best part of the day. It's the best part of the day. It's the
I remember exactly what Deborah said. She said, I don't speak in public. I wrote a song. Leslie's going to sing it. And she did. Thank you, Chuck. That was beautiful. All right. Would you close your eyes? Join hands. Feel each other's love pouring from your heart, down your arms, into your hands, joining together to remind you of one perfect partnership, one sacred energy, one unshakable holy bond. Continue to rely on this love, this support, in the years to come as the love of God is literally made flesh in the person of your beloved spouse. Open your eyes and behold this sacred and beautiful being of love and light. Inasmuch as you have reconsecrated yourself to the vows that bind you together in your love, and by repledging yourself to each other in the presence of this audience, by the authority of the Holy Spirit of love, I now pronounce you recommitted to your life mate. You may seal your covenant with a kiss. Thank you. guy. Well done.
Beach me, beach me.
Thank you.
There is no reception, by the way.
Well, you can. You can have one later.
That was beautiful. Your mate is waiting for you if you're looking up here and going, oh, God, where's mine? Yours is waiting when you say yes.
Okay, there we go. If you do not want one, that's okay, too. Are we clear? Whatever it is you desire, you've got. Close your eyes, breathe into your heart. Let's sing into our affirmation, into our meditation. I am so blessed. Breathe in. For all that I have, all that I am, all that God is. I want you to hold in your heart your dream, your desire, what you're longing for that hasn't shown up yet. God has it for you. God is it. Let it go and let it come into your life now.
I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed
for all that I am.
I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful.
And one more time, a little quieter. Great teacher said, let your yes be yes and your no's be no. What are you committed to? There's a legend that the Red Sea did not part for Moses and the Israelites till every single individual, man, woman, and child, was in the water. Once they were in and had faith, the waters parted and they went across. Are you fully committed? Are you fully immersed in your dream, in your desire, in the good you are looking for? Or is your toe in the water? Are you waiting for things to change before you'll move forward? Spirit only works when we are committed, when we have absolute conviction and faith that God is here and that God is at work. Today, I invite you to make that agreement between you and the God of your being that all the good is here right now. Nothing is missing from you, a child of God. The perfect health, strength in your body temple is here right now. Peace of mind is also present as divine health, wholeness. Do you accept the wholeness of God? Are you committed to doing what you need to do for that to come forth? We silently affirm, I am committed to God's wholeness and health. I am fully committed to God's wholeness and health. I do what I need to do and I see it come forth.
breathe that truth in. Get excited about the possibility of healing. Abundance is yours. You were born to be prosperous. What does that prosperity look like for you? What is it you desire? Commit yourself to following God's way to full success. I am committed to all good right now. Breathe that in. I am committed to all good right now. My success is assured. Let that take hold. Whatever fear comes up, let it be. The fear is not of God. It's of an old thought being let go. Be okay with it. Love, joy, peace, all good is mine. I was created to have a good life. I was created to have a joyful life. I was created to love and to be loving. I am a creation of God. Breathe in. Let go and let God reveal this from the core of your being. Let God be God in you right now. For a brief moment, let go of the fear, let go of the doubt, let go of the arguments, and allow God free flow to be health, abundance, love, success, joy, perfect peace. Breathe in and let go. You shall decree a thing, and it will be established for you, and God will be the light on your path, guiding you perfectly to the full manifestation of all good. Today we commit ourselves 100% to the good of God unfolding. We affirm it, we decree it. We know it to be the truth. In the name and through the power of the living, loving God energy, God mind within. And so it is. Amen and amen.